I'm Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for even more mega inspo, sign up for Seeking Center, the newsletter at seekingcenter.app. Elizabeth Rosenberg is a personal branding expert, communications consultant, visionary, and the founder of the Good Advice Company. She drives authentic change and purposeful impact through her work. For the last 20 plus years, she defined her career in marketing and communication. Now, she's finally sharing a side of herself that very few have seen. She's coming out as an intuitive medium and advanced Akashic Record reader. Elizabeth's own extreme case of corporate burnout led her on a journey of wellness and self-discovery, which led her to unlock abilities and make sense of knowings that she'd always had. Everything started to click. And over the last few years, she's found a way to combine her corporate self and her authentic self while tapping into spirituality and her intuition. She's working with top executives at Fortune 500 companies, startups, individual entrepreneurs, and consultants on building their personal brands. Even if her clients aren't spiritual, she's able to help identify and connect with their soul's purpose and then actually live it. Elizabeth is definitely our people. There is so much to discuss. Let's get going. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. It's great to be able to talk to you too. Can't wait.
And I just love even how we came to know each other. Because of the article that you posted on LinkedIn, I had someone in my own life send it to me and say, you're supposed to know this person.
I know. I always feel like everybody finds me when they're supposed to find me. And when the two of you reached out, it was like, oh, meant to be. Can't wait.
So let's talk about this coming out. What led you to this seeking journey and then uncovering your own abilities?
Okay. I've had a long career in communications and marketing. A few years ago, I experienced severe corporate burnout where I had a migraine where I lost all of my motor skills. And it was a burnout where I think at times people think that you only burn out when you hate your job. And I was in a job that I could not have loved more. I was thriving in my career. But from there, I really started to seek and started my own health and wellness journey. I tried every Eastern, Western, everything that you could possibly think of. And through that, I think I really started to untap some abilities that I had always had. I'd always been very intuitive in my life. I'd have some weird paranormal experiences as I was growing up, but this was next level. So when I say I had weird experiences as a kid, my dad is in sci-fi and was a showrunner and a screenwriter. I had my first reading when I was 10 years old. I actually did a book report on Carol Burnett. And little do most people know that she actually had a spiritual advisor with her. So part of my book report was going to get a reading at the Mystic Eye in Burbank. And my dad was with me. It's weird because I don't read anybody under the age of 18. So to this day, I'm still surprised that anybody would do a reading for me. And I actually wrote a book report on Are Mediums Real? And I have it somewhere. I'm sure one day I will find it, but I need to go back and read it because clearly a sign of what was meant to come. I ended up quitting another job that I loved, a corporate job, on March 2nd of 2020, right before the pandemic hit. And I also think that was very intuitive. I knew that there was change coming and that I was meant to get a jump start on that change. And I had been practicing the Akashic Records, which I was led to through three different people all in one week that all mentioned, you need to meet this woman, Helen. I ended up meeting this woman, Helen. She was an advanced Akashic Record reader. I didn't know what the Akashic Records were. And I was planning on doing a reading with her. And then I realized that she had a class that following weekend and was like, I'll just take the class. This will be fun. And something just clicked really easily for me.
How do you define Akashic Records?
The easiest way to explain the Akashic Records are that they are a library of your soul's journey. I call them light, but it's like guides. And then your loved ones are there. So when I tap into the Akashic Records, I'm hearing people that sound like professors that use words that I would never use, phrases that I would never think of. And then I have the fun people come in. I have people from your grandma who's passed, or people from your heritage, your lineage, who want to come into the party and say hi, or have a message that they want to share with somebody else. But again, as 2020 was evolving and we were all at home, I needed to practice and I thought it'd be fun. And I like to say that it's almost like I was hearing a stereo and the world, which was like the right side of the stereo, got very quiet, turned down, and the spiritual world turned up. So it was just coming more clear, more, all of my abilities were heightened. So as everybody was home, my kind of referral base started happening. And within 2020, I did over 100 readings for C-suite leaders throughout my network. And no one was paying me for these. I was just doing them to practice. I needed some kind of exchange and they were sending me things as a thank you. And eventually I got to the end of the year and I'm like, I do not need any more stuff. I need to start charging for this or figuring out a different way for this to work. And it wasn't until I was doing a branding session in communications and my actual job that I was working with this amazing woman who was very open to a spiritual path, and her guides busted through and came through in the middle of the session. And I said, oh my God, it was never my plan to make these two things work in tandem. It was always, this is a side hustle and this is my job. But they came together in a really beautiful way. And I realized that I could tap into my intuition through the Akashic Records and also the 25 years of experience that I have in marketing communications and figure out a way for them to weave beautifully together. It would be quite powerful. So I ended up doing some beta sessions and lo and behold, it worked well.
And just going back to your journey, when you talked about the fact that you'd heard about this one woman three times in 1 week, I think for people listening, when we talk about and being guided to something, but paying attention to it. Can you speak to that for a moment? Because it happened to Karen and I in our own lives. And we love it when we hear this from someone else.
Yeah.
What made you act on it? You actually proactively went after it. So what gave you the energy even to do that?
The three people that I had heard about Helen from were all people that I very much respected and were all people who were part of my healing journey. So again, I was on this journey not to necessarily do personal development, not to necessarily become more spiritual in my path. I was literally on this journey to stop getting migraines. So my only goal was, what can I do to stop getting migraines? I was willing to do anything. And I did a past life regression in Topanga, which is the most LA thing possible. I did allergy shots twice a month for 3 years. I've literally done everything. So when I had these three different people telling me this in 1 week, I was like, okay, I've got nothing to lose. It might be fun. And I'm quite open to where any kind of healing and any kind of opportunity to learn could come from as well. I also think because I was on this path of learning more about my own spirituality, I was really interested in connecting with other people who were also on that path. In a lot of my readings, I say to people that as you ascend, you start to connect energetically with very different people in your lives. And you're inviting in people who are on the same path that you are. And you just need to be open to what that might offer you. And I think if it's hard often, I think the best advice we give is often the advice we need to receive. So I'm a few steps behind on some things after I've given that advice to 10 other people. But I think that you do need to act on a lot of the things and the signs that you're seeing.
Do you think that the migraines were a trigger for you to actually start this journey? Do you think that they were related in any way? And did they stop once you started your journey?
That is an amazing question. And the answer is no. I have had migraines since I was 4. I have experienced, I definitely through behavioral and mental therapies, as well as physical ones, I've undergone different triggers that I have for migraines. And they've been everything from stemming from my birth to stemming from different foods that I eat to weather, to hormone, all of that stuff. I think that's the weird thing about migraines is like even doctors don't really know that much about them and billions of people experience. It is interesting because I finally do have a neurologist who is very accepting of the fact that I do this work. And she asks questions, how many readings are you doing a week? Do you feel better when you're doing this? And I do find that I think it does release part of the energy. And it might just be because I'm living more authentically myself that I feel more comfortable in not having to put on that facade of somebody else. And maybe that's why I'm getting less migraines. So mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of something there, but I also believe that I will probably always have to medically intervene with my migraines forever. I hope that's not the case, but I'm very realistic that might be.
And we talk about definitions all this time. How do you define what an intuitive medium is? And how do you talk about what you do to other people?
That's a great question because I think that it is one of those industries that is very confusing to define. I think Akashic Records especially are confusing because they're not as mainstream as if you were to see a psychic, $5, or a tarot, or palm reader. And the Akashic Records, and I don't know if your other guests have agreed or disagree with this, but I find them to be quite powerful and something that I would not necessarily go into myself without training. So there are some people who I know look it up online and they're like, oh my God, I went into the records. And something about that always felt very sacred, but also very scary for me. It was just not something I was interested in. So I always just like to throw that out there. In terms of defining intuitive, the reality is we are all so intuitive. So I always say that it's really listening to the knowing. Whether you choose to or not is up to you. I tell a lot of my clients that the best advice I can give is if you are hearing something inside your head with your psychic ears, ask yourself, is this me or are my guides talking? And they will give you an answer. And sometimes you'll know that you're overriding the system. It's actually pretty funny, but I do find that works really well. And then medium, I added in medium because I believe that a medium is someone who is channeling messages from those from beyond. They're very different things, in all honesty. The records, the intuition, and the medium is all different.
And I think a lot of the people listening are always asking those questions. What does that mean? And we find that different people give themselves a different title per se. And to them, it's different, which is why we ask, what does medium mean to you? What is Akashic Record? And I love that each actually means something very different in your world.
I'm also an English major, so I like to, and I'm a Virgo, so I like to define things very clearly. I also am very clear that these are my definition for these words.
Yes.
Which is also, I think, why it makes this industry and this world quite confusing, because I think that there's so much stigma around what an intuitive is, what a medium is, what a psychic is, and what that actually means for them. So I'm very clear that I am an Akashic Record reader, but I don't necessarily really use that because no one really knows what it is. If I say I'm an intuitive medium, you have an idea. But I also think that a lot of people feel more comfortable working with me because I don't look like what society believes a medium looks like.
Exactly. I was just literally thinking about that as you were talking. I want to go back to the coming out part because I think that's just so funny. I say that all the time too. I got to a point in my job when I didn't really care what people thought anymore. And I actually felt some of the tools that I had learned were helpful to others. And I really wanted to teach them. Even things that I laugh all the time about having crystals on my desk, but I use them sometimes to go into meetings to calm anxiety. But what was it for you? I just want to get a glimpse of what it was like in your corporate world. How did you sprinkle in that other side of you into conversations? What did that feel like? And then what ultimately led you to feel confident that you could come out and then ultimately leave those jobs you loved?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't really think that I talked too much about my spirituality prior to the pandemic. I had readings for years and all that stuff. And I also think because I come from an entertainment and creative background, it's just so much more accepted. I remember at one of our companies, we literally had laughter therapy or we did guided meditation. It was like, it's very accepted in the creative industry to do that. So it's not like it's too weird. When I finally started to tell people, no one was surprised, which I'm always like laugh at. They're like, oh, this isn't really shocking. It's like, I didn't know I was putting out those vibes. Okay, good to know. And then when I finally outed myself on LinkedIn, I had a coach say to me, you do such a good job at helping your clients uncover and actualize their authentic selves, but you are living inauthentically publicly. And that was a dagger to the heart. It was like, oh my God, I'm telling people to do something, but I'm not doing it myself. And I'm like, yeah, but it's one thing to say I'm a leader who's on the spectrum, or I am a leader who leads sober. Like those don't have the stigma that an intuitive might, but is it really that big of a difference? So I always say that it's really important for people to have a trusted board of advisors, your friends that will actually tell you the truth. And I think having that in my circle was an amazing push, but also the awareness that I needed to do it on my own timeline. Because I think she said this to me like a year before I actually did it. And then finally, I got to the point where I was like, my business is successful. I'm almost all referral based. I'm doing a job that I genuinely really love to do. There's going to be a market for me, whether this works or not. And then as a PR person, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to come out and I'm either going to get canceled or it's going to be like gangbusters. And I will have a plan for both, of which I have a very clear plan for both. So I think in general, I'm a very risk adverse person. And I think it's because as a comm specialist, I can see how 17,000 things are going to go wrong. It's like, this is the plan. But if this doesn't go according to plan, here are all the ways that we can fix it. So I think I had a very clear vision as to this is what I really want the plan to be. But if it doesn't work, here are the ways that I will still be able to pay for my home.
Yeah, you have that 1 foot rooted in reality. But the other part of you had let go of what anyone thought, because you know the difference you've made in all these people's lives and how, which we're going to talk about, you've come up with your own process in getting someone who may not think that they are very, in quote, spiritual to uncover their soul's work and who they really are at their core and apply it to what they're doing. What you are doing is helping people with personal branding. What does that mean?
I think think a personal brand is presenting your authentic self to the world. Now, as a corporate comms person, I think it's important that you're presenting that authentic self while threading the needle between who you are as a person and what you do for work. So the biggest aha moment for me was recognizing that during the pandemic, we live these lives as corporate executives or leaders or managers or whatever you might be, presenting ourselves by what we do. The very first thing you ask on a Zoom, you're like, who are you and what do you do? Honestly, it's very American to do that. If you go to Europe, that is not how they introduce people. It is a very different way of working. And then I also recognized that as people were passing away from COVID or other things during the pandemic, obituaries were reading like resumes. Mm-hmm. And that reason was because bios and resumes live on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is a very public place where you can easily get information about people. And I was like, oh, good Lord, if I die in the next year and people only say that I worked for this company and that I did this thing, and they don't say anything about the type of person I am, I will come back and haunt everyone. That cannot be my legacy. That can't be the thing that I'm known for. So I really wanted to be on this mission to reimagine what brands look like when you're presented as who you are, not just what you do. So it's been a really fascinating process of putting together this methodology, because more than half of my clients have never had any kind of reading, are not spiritual really at all, but are also all in this place where they are willing to look and explore something different to get answers that they have been searching for. I work with a lot of people who are at a point in their careers where they're thriving, but they're also so bored and they're purposeless. They just don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And they don't know how to weave in the things that they love and what they actually want to stand for with what they have to do to make money.
So can you talk about the process of how you do that? Do you use your intuition to dive in a little bit deeper on who they are? And what are your clients typically looking for when they come to you?
My clients are mainly women. I do have some male clients. They are looking to either change where they are in a career transition. They're launching something new. They want to have a platform to talk about. PR has changed so much in the last few years in terms of news, in terms of what people are interested in actually covering. Everything's behind a paywall. So the brands that I'm helping people create are much more media optimized. So you actually have something interesting to talk about. I think as women in general, we all have imposter syndrome, and we all don't believe that we are worthy of any kind of accolades that we actually receive. So many times I play that role in pulling that information out of you. What is that thing that you've done? What is that thing you're actually really proud of? That is one question that I ask all of my clients is, what are the top three things you're most proud of? And I'm not talking about a campaign or something like that, like saving someone's job or a dinner party where it felt inclusive. The little things that you're actually really proud of. The methodology in terms of how I tap into my intuition, and I don't really give anybody a choice. You're either in for the process or you're not, because I feel like if you do part of it, you're not going to get the result that we all want. The very first session is an Akashic record reading. It's about 90 minutes long. So I really dive into everything. We dive into your purpose. I never know what's going to come through. I never know if your grandma has messages for you, if they're talking about your kids, if they're talking about your partner, but I try to steer the conversation as much as we can to get out what you need. My readings are also a lot of me talking. People want to like chime in and I'm like, they're still talking to you. It's a good 45 minutes of just getting hit with info. And then the second session, I work with an executive coach and we do behavioral analysis. I think it's very important. And I think a lot of people need the intuitive data with behavioral data, and they always match up. Always. I think there is this sigh of relief afterwards to be like, okay, it all is actually working. And after the first session, everyone's, oh my God, that was great. My favorite session. And the second session, everyone's like, oh my God, that was amazing. That was my favorite session. And then I go into a really deep story mining process. I know as producers, you would all understand, because that's where you're pulling out the story. That's the part that's interesting. And I think besides intuition, part of my superpower, and this is where the comms part comes in, is reading between the lines and what you're actually saying and saying, oh wait, that's actually the important thing. That's the thing you need to be focusing on. Why are you talking about creativity, leadership, and diversity? You have nothing new to say about any of that. But let's tie in what it means to be a military spouse with four kids and how that changes your leadership style. And then you have a story that's actually interesting and relatable. Oh. I know, it's so fun.
Those are some superpowers.
Told me like somebody could maybe 5 years ago that someone would have even thought of something like this. Like it was like two separate worlds that you've been really able to pull together. And I'm sure that anybody listening right now is like, sign me up up for that. Because all of a sudden you're seen for who you really are, not for your resume. And your resume are things that you've done. And of course you're proud of them. But like you just said, it's coloring in the picture of who you are versus just looking at it from the outside in, really. I love that.
And to your point also, because so much of our interaction now is via Zoom, and I never really thought about the fact that it's different in America versus, let's say, in Europe with how you do introduce yourself or what you're asked initially. But you do have to have a really quick way of saying who you are, what you do. And so if you're able to give somebody a more nuanced and depth into who they are and what they do, what a gift.
And what I do really is part of the deliverable is getting several versions of your bio. I think as a PR person, I know you're like, I need a long one. I need a speaker one. I need a short one. And I pull really the part from the bottom that is always the part that's important and bring a lot of that into the top. So your first paragraph shouldn't be, this is what I do and this is why I'm good at it. It should be, this is who I am and this is how I incorporate that person into what I do. We all have worked now at this point, and no one wants to work with people who aren't nice and purpose-driven and thoughtful and compassionate. And no one's bio ever says that you're those things. Everyone says you're empathetic, and fine, everyone's an empathetic leader now, which I don't totally believe is true either. But everyone's bio says it. There are other ways to say that this is who I am. It's really interesting as well that people put so many buzzwords into their bios. There's so many other ways to describe, again, who you are and how that drives what you do.
And I would also ask, when someone starts to work with you and they have this intention of really uncovering and figuring out how to better brand themselves in general, would you say that there are people though that also start to work with you and they may have that intention at the beginning, but what is uncovered in those first two sessions actually ends up leading them to discover that they may want to make a bigger change in their lives?
Always. And it isn't necessarily, I want to change my job. Most of the time it's, I want to change how I'm showing up, or I want to change the things that I'm not doing in my job. And how do I live my purpose through the personal things that I'm doing on a regular basis? And making everything that you're doing more intentional as you are more present.
Elizabeth, do you think that since COVID, corporate America is willing to embrace this way of looking at ourselves more? And I feel like there's a little bit more of an opening, like a crack in the door where people are being able to show up as their more authentic selves. I just wonder if that's shifting at all.
I do think that corporate America is shifting in that way. Boards are looking for people with very high EQ right now. They need people who can deal with founders. They need people who are very solution oriented. There were a bunch of articles about that. I think spirituality has changed drastically since the pandemic hit, of how people even view what that looks like. Personal development is not even a naughty word anymore. Now it's like everybody is on personal development, whether you are doing psilocybin with your friends and uncovering something new for you, whether you're taking breathwork classes, whether you're home on Headspace. There are so many different avenues for people who are needing that next step in healing. Through everyone's readings, it is very clear that everyone has child trauma. Everyone. And it does not matter if your trauma is abuse or if your trauma is getting a B instead of an A on a report card. Your trauma to you is your trauma. And how that trauma has then manifested throughout your years in your personal and professional development is all very clear. As there's so much going on in the world where we're all a little emotionally burned out, all of that trauma and all of that stuff is coming to the surface. So there is so much more seeking of healing. And I honestly don't think that anybody really cares how you heal as long as you're working on it. When you are on dating apps in major metropolitan areas, people are wildly and boldly talking about their therapy. LinkedIn, people talk about it on a regular basis. Twitter, people are talking about what their mental health and wellness looks like. I don't necessarily know if corporate America is making enough room for it, and that also employees are being realistic that you have to be able to incorporate your personal development and wellness into actually working in corporate America. There's a fine line between how that's all going to find a way to work.
But I think what you're doing is you're giving people words, tools to describe who they really are so that they can show up. Because I don't think many of us have even done that exercise. We're so busy fine-tuning our personas, our external persona, that we're not really taught to start from the inside out. So that's a whole different approach.
And personal branding is not about being famous. In fact, I will not work with clients who are like, I want to be famous. I love working with clients who say, I want to make an impact. And what I say to them is, it doesn't matter if you impact one person or if you impact thousands, the ripple effect of that one person will equal thousands. It's unbelievably important for people who I work with to know that the story that they're telling is going to change the life of at least one person.
And one more question in regards to the people you work with and how you begin, in the sense that, as we said, most of these people have never heard of the Akashic Record, have had any type of reading. How do you get them to trust?
I think because I genuinely come across so happy in what I do, which I know sounds really weird, but everyone that I talk to, I can tell you really like your job and I can tell you really believe that it works. I think the trust though comes from referrals. And normally that's where I'm getting most of my business from. Once you get a reading, the trust is tenfold just because I know too much about you.
Like, how many sessions does it take to get to that personal brand? And does your client have to do any work or do you just give them everything?
It is a collaborative process. The workshop is, and I call it a workshop, is 5 sessions. You were presented with your thought leadership plan and your new bios on session 4. The first 2 sessions are all me. The 3rd session, the homework, you do have to do the homework. It takes probably an hour or two, depending on how much really effort you're putting into it. And then the 4th and 5th session are again, us working through the process. Then you're on your own. Once you have a plan, you really have to execute. I would say about 50% of my clients do monthly coaching with me afterwards to have an accountability partner and make sure that they are following through with the process. And I am not a certified coach. I don't like to call myself a coach, but a lot of it is knowing business acumen, which I'm very good at, as well as medium optimization, which I'm really good at. And then just intuitively knowing this is what you should be doing or this is what you should be doing. Coaching is a industry in itself, and it has boomed explosively in the last 3 years. And honestly, my coach is the best. I refer him to people all the time. And there's so much about working with a coach that I love, but there's different forms of coaching. So I think that's where I come back to it, is I am not a certified executive coach. I coach you in the things that you need coached from my perspective.
One of the other questions we're going to ask has to do with what other modalities from a spiritual perspective are you using in your life or that have also profoundly changed your life in addition to the Akashic Records?
I have done everything, honestly, except for plant medicine, just because I'm a Virgo and I've become more sensitive to everything. I really don't drink very much anymore. I think alcohol, all of that kind of just changes, clouds my entry. But in terms of, obviously, there's been crystals, there's been essential oils, there's been readings. I've literally, especially on the migraine front, I have tried everything possible. I think a lot of people think that you need to meditate in order to connect and to slow down. And the reality is everyone's meditation and what meditation looks like for them is very different. I think when you're also very busy in your personal life and your professional life, finding the time to meditate and the discipline to do it is quite difficult. So I always tell people you can find 5 minutes to breathe. I think breath work for me was a gateway into being able to tap into this ability. Silence is also very key. Sleep. I like to call sleep a modality because I find it to be very important. Making sure that your phone is out of your room, making sure that you're off of social media, making sure that you're really getting that environment set for sleep. Sleep, a lot of the time people don't understand, but like the dreams that you're connecting with, that's portal stuff happening there too. Meditation for me is walking. I am a major walker. Working out for me is also quite meditative. But in terms of spiritual modalities that I do, I check in with my own record maybe once a month. And that is just downloading information that I need. I get one reading a year from a medium in the UK who is amazing. He's also been mentoring me. It was very funny. I was having a really hard time connecting with people who've passed and how they were showing me how they died. And it was physically affecting me. They would show me how they were dying and then I would feel like I was dying for an extensive amount of time. So I've been doing mentoring sessions with him, and I actually mentor and spiritually coach about 5 people that were all past clients who have also really turned on their abilities. And I want to be really clear. This is also a point of contention with people in this space. I call what I do an ability, not a gift. I do not believe it is a gift. I do not believe that you were touched and all of a sudden you can see things. We all have access to this ability. We're born with it. Society tells us to turn it off when we're children and we turn it off. And normally there's some kind of traumatic experience that unearths shifts it and brings it back. There are, and there is an entire generation of children who have not turned it off and are not turning it off. And they are normally children of parents who are spiritually inclined. And that's also what I said, you're spiritually inclined, because everyone's ability is very different. There are things with the people that I mentor that I'm like this one guy, he's amazing. He's an intuitive out of Portland, and he didn't know what was happening to him. I ended up doing a reading and we were seeing the same thing. And I'm like, I think you're intuitive. And now he's doing readings and has his own practice. He clears property energy. He will go into someone's home and will clear their energy, and he can do it via Zoom. And I'm like, that is rad. Wow. How do you do that? So I also think we're all uncovering all these cool little things that we didn't know that we were actually able to do.
And I love what you're doing, is because people, they're coming to you for a reason. They're looking for something really practical. And yet you're opening up this whole new world that so many, like you were saying before, are very doubtful of or very fearful of, and showing them how it can really show them who they are. And that's the place to start. I just think that it's just such a revolutionary idea. I think you need to train at least 100 more of you.
I keep thinking, how do I do that? How do I scale this? I would love to be able to offer this to so many more. So that is in my, plan. How do I do that?
That's where we come in.
I'd love to help you with that.
Yes. The last thing that we wanted to ask you, if someone wanted to start to tap into their authentic self and start to figure out what their purpose, what would be one exercise that they can do?
I would recommend answering two questions. The first one being, what are the three things in your life you're most proud of? And not your kids, not your, do you know what I mean? Like that you have done. And they tend to be really small. When I tell people the three things in my life I'm most proud of, it's this dinner that I had in Cannes. And it seems like a stupid dinner. And it was such a small thing, but I had full creative control. People were crying, were laughing, were dancing. We had this just, it was everything about it felt like it was a personified version of me in this party. It was just, this is me. The other thing is, I am so proud of all of the news that I've kept out of the press versus what I've actually gotten in it, which I know you can both understand. The third thing is the bravery that I've had to make this pivot and to talk so freely about things in my life, like burnout, like being an intuitive, like these relatable stories that actually resonate with people, and standing in the power of the impact that those are making. So those are my examples. I hope that helps other people think about what theirs could be. Because once you uncover those, you can thread the needle as to, why did those make me so proud? What was the joy that I was getting out of it that I can recreate somehow, some way? And then the other thing is, if you had all the money in the world and you could take 1 year off, what would you do? And I always feel like the answer to that question is really what we should all be. So what is it? And then how do you incorporate at least some of that into what you're doing in your daily life? If I had all the money in the world right now, I would be in 6 different countries, 2 months in each country, learning all the healing modalities of everybody in that area. And then I would also just explore culture and food. I would volunteer. I would just be in that place. If anybody wants to sponsor me for that trip, I would love that.
I want to come with you doing that.
That is just my ultimate dream. It would just be so rad to do that. Please. It's been on my wish list for years. And then being able to also incorporate so much of that learning into how I work and how I help other people. Dream.
Even in just you saying that, I just feel lighter. I think so many people feel once they've gotten to a certain place in their career, they're locked in. This is what I've done. This is what I have to keep doing. This is where my experience is. And then you let all the dreams go, and you just feel like you just have to put one foot in front of the other. And I think asking people to look back at those things that inspired them really brings them back to thinking about who they really are and what they're really supposed to be doing here. So much of that work stuff is the illusion that we all get talked into or buy into. And this just gives you a whole new opportunity. And like you said earlier, it doesn't mean you have to completely change your career, but it could mean just changing the company that you're working for can make all the difference. It just seems like such a waste not to ask these big questions and lean into the purposeful.
Well, and by the way, life is short and we spend too much time not enjoying it. We hope that these conversations and then what we end up creating out of these conversations really changes someone's life so they enjoy it. Then they bring joy to others, because we are definitely here to learn. And that isn't always easy, but most of our life should be full of joy.
Yes. And I've found that when you are actually living in that joy, you're making more money. It just is like the case.
Also, I think something that you said earlier.
You don't need as much money.
Like, yes. One or the other. Yes.
You said earlier that really hit me was, you impact one person too. I think we're all looking outward at the measurement of success with the wrong lens so often. And that idea of every one of us impacts other people in some way. And the more we can do that from that place of authenticity where we're really feeling like we're giving our real selves, that is the place of joy. It really is.
And I want to say one other thing too, which is the questions that you propose for people to ask, they actually are so simple in many ways. And yet we don't ask them enough. And most people have never asked themselves those questions. So just knowing that the answer is already there. The answer is within. It's there. It's then how do you take the action?
And on the spiritual front, especially, I know your audience is either deeply in or interested in learning more about. The spiritual growth process is not always fun. And I just want to remind everybody of that. Personal development, trauma relief, all of that stuff, it will all get you to a better place. But know that you're not going to sit in that place of pain forever. I know that my own growth process has been emotionally, mentally, and physically very trying, but I'm also in a place now where I'm emotionally, mentally, and physically in a much better place. So if at any time during that process, you're like, I just can't do this anymore, it's also okay to take a break and ascend, integrate, be there. And I also don't know how much you've talked about enlightenment and all of that stuff, but I really don't believe in enlightenment. I think that people who say they're enlightened, the whole point is that you've let go of your ego, yet you're telling everybody you're better than them because you're enlightened. It just seems ridiculous to me. So don't think that there's this end goal of where you need to go. I'm not heading towards enlightenment. I'm just growing as a collective with everybody else around me and trying to be the best version of myself I can.
Which is honestly the reason we've named our podcast Seeking Center. We will always be seeking center.
And
eventually want to have an actual place that is a seeking center, but really that's the whole goal. And we will never not be seeking. We will never not be learning. We are forever curious. To your point, you continue to uncover things about yourselves and the why and why we're all here. And so collectively, we're just always learning from one another.
Exactly.
I love that point. Thank you for coming out.
I know it's such a, I don't know what other phrase to use because I know that is obviously a weird phrase, but for me, it felt the most natural of introducing a new version of myself to the world. Probably a new version of myself to me.
Yeah, because you said it even took you a year to fully embrace that and put that out in a big public way. Mm-hmm. And so you stepped into it now.
Still stepping into it, but yes.
Well, more people hear about it. And I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of emails or direct messages. You can find out more about working with Elizabeth at thegoodadvicecompany.com, or you can also find Elizabeth on LinkedIn by going there and searching for Elizabeth Rosenberg. And we'll have this all in our show notes as well.